to talk about price pollutant, polluted price pricing mechanism.
Thanks.
Please.
Good afternoon. The project pollutant pricing mechanism is the research project. This project will help our body to identify different types of pollutant pricing mechanism, and also to identify whether the existing accounting standards are applicable, and can we do something to deliver some significant improvement to existing standards. We have identified the diversity in the practices and the significance of prudent pricing mechanism project is likely to increase because the prudent pricing mechanisms are becoming more common in the world. So among the accounting issues of this project, we find some of them linked with other projects. For example, the conceptual framework and work on liabilities and the levies. So now we are cooperating with other teams to solve these issues. Everybody knows the pollutant issue is significant, and that will affect everybody in the world, but the opinions on our pollutant project are mixed. More than half the respondents to the agenda consultation refer to this project. Because of this project is increasing in importance, and there is no guidance in our IFRS standards. So some of our stakeholders, they mentioned we need to rank this project with high priority, with high importance and high urgency. Besides the agenda consultation, we also receive some feedback from online survey to understand the view of our investors community. So about one third of the users rank the PPM project with high importance and urgency. In our agenda paper, paragraph 33, we set out some next steps of this project. We hope our future work could help our board to decide whether to start a standard level project in the future. Thanks. So what kind of comments or questions about this project do you have?
I have one comment, which is on paragraph 26, where you note that among the people who rank the project as having lower or medium priority is most of the respondents in Europe. I think one reason is that they have already tackled the issue on their own side in a way and taken positions. The problem is that those positions might be somewhat entrenched, and they may not be wishing to consider any changes. But I think it's not a good reason, because what we want is comparability across the world. So it's very striking to see that those who may not have taken any positions yet are very much demanding us to do something, and the ones who are less enthusiastic are the ones who say we don't want to change what we are doing at present. So I think that's an element of context which we must keep in mind. And it also makes clear that we will have some resistance on the way when it comes to changing established practices, but it's part of our job.
Is there a lot of divergence within Europe?
Or? Yeah, well, within Europe, I'm not quite sure. What is sure that there are some divergences between what we have as first ideas in developing the project and what positions have been taken in certain jurisdictions. And basically, the gross versus net presentation is one big issue. But maybe not the only one.
Yeah, I'd agree. Hwasin has been looking at quite a lot of financial statements of European companies and other types of companies as well. But we focused on Europe because they have had quite a few years to get used to accounting for the European scheme. And there is diversity, particularly in the presentation, in that some are reflecting both the allowances and the liabilities, others though are offsetting the allowances and the liabilities. So sometimes the transparency is you know, it's a little bit difficult to see the underlying information.
Okay. Daryl?
I don't think I'm adding anything necessarily revolutionary new. I think Steve, when he spoke earlier, spoke about the importance of us not using a pure ranking system for projects based on what people have said. And I think emissions is one where I'm particularly concerned about some of the views that have come through. So to Philippe's question, my understanding in looking at some of the financial statements I've seen or had my attention drawn to, this is one of the case studies we use in our education workshops, so we get quite a lot of feedback on it, is that there is quite a lot of diversity in practice and the way it's being done. I think there is also an element of complacency that's come in here because there has been a practice that has developed. It's not a consistent practice, but it's a practice that produces relatively consistent results. I'm not entirely sure, at the very least I'd say it's probably regarded as an interesting interpretation of the conceptual framework. And as we move into a new conceptual framework, it's one that may well be revisited. Mm-hmm. And I think that may lead this to be going from something which people kind of like the outcome they get, and they don't want the board to interfere with that outcome, to one where they discover that the outcome has changed because of a conceptual framework, and suddenly it's urgent because suddenly they are getting an outcome that they're not as comfortable with. And then I think Philippe raised it earlier. I think it is really important. This is one of those projects where right now it's on the back burner because there aren't that many of these schemes around. And to the extent that the schemes are around, the balance sheet, the on-balance sheet value is relatively small. But every indication we have is it's likely to get bigger in terms of the spread of these schemes and bigger in terms of the value of these schemes. And I think as that happens, this is going to become much more important and the diversity is going to become much more obvious. So I do think this is one that we need to be paying a little more attention to than perhaps the rankings on their own suggest.
Daryl, you know, it was reported in the paper here a couple of weeks ago, that I don't know if it's true or not, that Tata Steel made $750 million profit.
Just on this?
Runpulin in China had the same.
That really helped.
not to point to Tata at all, but their accounting may have allowed them to capture certificates for free on their balance sheet, which they've now sold, but at some stage need to buy back.
Yeah.
And so the accounting can produce particularly odd outcomes.
Yeah. And we should be careful, it was just a newspaper report.
Not to pick on them, I think accounting could allow.
It's not the first company to which this happens. I can point to another example.
They sold the certificates and then had to buy them back later.
May have to buy later.
They showed us $150 million.
Yeah. Doug.
Thank you. I think this project is very important because recently climate change issue is a big issue, and then people would ask what is accounting. Then we should be at least ready to this scheme. So this is the right accounting for this scheme. So I think this project is important. However, I don't think we can provide kind of magic accounting for this scheme because there are a variety of schemes and many schemes. Probably in the future we will have a variety of schemes. So we cannot really cope with the one accounting standard for those variety of schemes. However, if you look at each transaction, it is a combination of variety of transactions, like getting the grant and selling it, or paying the tax, or whatever. So if you look at each individual transaction carefully, then probably most of them, our current existing standard, can be applied. So therefore, we should not try to make a kind of magic accounting based on the scheme which is existing. Rather, I would like you to analyze each detail of the transaction and the nature of each transaction and what is the proper accounting. And of course, IFRIC 3 was trying to do something like that, but because of the accounting mismatch, it failed. But the reason why IFRIC 3 failed is we only provided some small part of transactions. So if we try to capture more area, missing area, and this is the way forward you look at, then I think the accounting mismatch is the issue each individual entity should solve by themselves. So I think we have to go back to the basic and look at each individual standard and the ingredients of transaction.
Gary?
The next week, Ian and I are in Frankfurt for a corporate reporting dialogue meeting and Ian for a subsequent IRC meeting. The main topic at the corporate reporting dialogue meeting next week is climate change, environment, and all the stuff that's in the political ether, with the sort of with the assumption that this is going to expand rapidly, you know, in the current world, you know, because that's where the political appetite is. Don't know where the IRC would go with it, but I think they're probably likely aligned to that. This is, if this is the future reporting, this is the most contemporaneous, you know, event going on that could affect financial reporting. So I think if there's ever going to be a proof case of can our work product keep up with emerging developments, this is probably as good as one as there is. Now, I don't pretend to say what answer we should come up with, but I would, I think, as both Taka and Daryl had said, I think these are going to expand rapidly and globally. If there's ever a time to try to minimize diversity developing, it really is now. You think of all the projects we take, very, very few of them don't lead off with diversity as a problem. Well, when it's embryonic, it's easier to, you know, align, you know, accounting disclosure regimes than once something's deep and long established. So I think it's important we try to keep up with it. And here's probably a case where we don't really want the great to be the enemy of the good. And we need to sort of be disciplined. What is good enough, as opposed to spending several years, you know, grinding through the finer points, you know, of these things.
I had an observation that I was going to make during Peter's talk, but I kind of held off until we got to this one. A number of the research projects that we're going to receive a report about the status have some common conceptual threads. And as we continue to debate our conceptual framework over the course of 2016, and frankly looking out, you know, over the next, say, several years, one of the things that I think as an observer might have, and this came through in our consultation with the Advisory Council, it's come up in the past, is where's the consistency in your approach to conceptual issues and problems across projects? Going back several years ago, I remember when I was first on the board, we had this discussion, and Wayne Upton, in his inimitable style, very, very clearly said, "Pat, been there, done that, doesn't work." And in Wayne's defense, I think there's a lot of rationale, reason for his thinking, as somebody as experienced and knowledgeable as he is about accounting standards. But that doesn't mean I don't think you give up. You throw in the towel and say, well, the approach to the definition of a liability for PPM has got to be different from rate regulated, and it's going to be different for liabilities and equity, and so on. And if you stand back and you look at any kind of quasi-judicial body in the world, the one thing that people always say that they put a value on is consistency. Whether they like your answer or not, it's consistency. And I think that's what we need to strive for as much as, quote unquote, purity. Forget about purity at times. But if you're at least you're consistent, your stakeholders say, I know what essentially I'm getting here, and it's consistent across, and I can make sense of it. I may or may not agree, but at least it's consistent. So that's one thought I think we should keep in mind as we move forward.
Sue?
I'm going to be boring for a moment and go back from the sort of details of this project to ask more of a sort of process question and to make an observation. I'm just a little bit, I want to make sure I understand what the process is, but also just to put up a flag for concerns about expectations management. And that's because we've got a whole series of papers which are individual projects, which are analysing what's important about all of these different projects. And I agree completely with what everybody said about the importance of this if I look at it on a standalone basis. But at some point, the board's going to have to look at prioritisation, what resources we've got and everything. So we can think that this is the best project in the world, but if we've got to do a whole load of other stuff that is going to take up all of our resources, I just don't want us to lose sight of that. And so I think we just need to be a little bit careful about what people are hearing when we're all saying all of these positive things about individual projects. It doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be able to all be dealt with quickly. Also, just the thing I wanted to clarify as well is we've got next steps at the end of this paper, which is, seems to be sort of independent of the big picture drawing together of, you know, these are all the different inputs we've got for the agenda consultation. This is how we prioritise and pull it together, which I understand we're going to do at a later board meeting. But just to be clear, does that mean that for the next steps for this project, for example, irrespective of what we sort of decided on the agenda consultation, we think that there's work that should be done to sort of pull together what we've found out so far and to at least document it? Is that the sort of intention behind the next steps here?
What we've tried to do is...
Jane and Peter saw... Yeah. I'm not sure who's
let me have a shot first and have a go if I miss things or get it wrong. So what we're trying to do generally, I think, is say that for some projects, we've got work that's already sort of on the programme and planned. For some of the projects, we got to the end of what we'd already programmed. So share-based payments is probably a good example of that. So we've basically done what we said we're going to do, and the question is there anything beyond what we'd already planned? For this one, we're in the middle of the work that was already planned. So the next steps here are what we would do next, unless we get some message from the board that the priorities have shifted and maybe we shouldn't do this or we should do something else. So it's trying to give you a sense of sort of what we would sort of the business as usual if we don't change.
Okay. I think just adding to that as well, in terms of the prioritisation and intentionally this paper and the next paper we're going to discuss didn't ask the board to make decisions about prioritising. Yeah. It's just to get a flavour that will add to the whole process. And the steps, the next steps, obviously the amount of detail and the amount of time and resource spent on completing those next steps will be influenced by the decisions about prioritisation as to whether we're trying to wrap up in a certain way that we can perhaps put the project on hold and come back to it at a later time when it fits better with the overall balance of the board's programme, or whether we should put more time in now to try and just round it off in more detail. You know, there's a whole lot of moving parts to fit together. Thank you, that's helpful.
Thank you. Yeah, I agree with the other people who are saying this is a kind of contemporary social issue now, so you might need some kind of special consideration. And specifically, I'd like to ask at the paragraph 30 here. 30. Investors preparers have different responses on this project. For example, their preparers, most of preparers do not think this is a high medium priority. However, we many board members think this is a very important issue socially. So it's quite strange why preparers do not have the same idea and opinion on this. So is there any some kind of additional some kind of responses in those comment letters or some online surveys why preparers are not?
I think generally the online survey we didn't get much detail. It was a ranking process, but some of the further comments we got, I think it ties in with what Philippe mentioned earlier, in that quite a few preparers, and particularly if you look at European preparers, they've been dealing with the European Emission Trading Scheme for 10 years and have developed their own way of accounting for these schemes that they're comfortable with. They've been able to communicate what the impact of those schemes is. So some of it, I think, is, and also then other preparers in other parts of the world, if these schemes are not yet big in those jurisdictions or they haven't yet been introduced in those jurisdictions, they're not yet, I think, on the radar for accounting purposes.
And also they may belong to industries that have not been and will not be impacted. If I'm a banking bit better, I may not pay much attention to those emission trading schemes. If I am in industry, I will have two. If I'm in retail, maybe not so much. So I think we have to maybe to try to find more about whose preferred view it was because of their particular circumstance.
Yeah, that's a good point. Another thing is that this is very minor one. On the second sentence of the paragraph 30, conversely, almost two-thirds of the other respondents, they said low importance. How to calculate the two-thirds of the proportion? It seems to be quite difficult to calculate two-thirds based on this information here.
Well, that was just because that's the online survey was a tick box, so we know the exact numbers of those people that responded, and so the
because it's two layers, it's two-thirds of people responding to the survey talked about this project.
Yeah.
Of those who talked about this project, you then get a split of the people who talked about it. That's why you get percentages that don't add up.
Yeah, yeah, but there's two levels here. There's
there's users.
There's two-thirds, and then there's half of the two-thirds, and then there's two-thirds of the half of the two-thirds.
Yeah.
I see. So these two-thirds include a kind of a no-comment people there?
No, two-thirds who didn't rank it as high. Of those who didn't rank it as high,
all right,
which is half, two-thirds of them ranked it as low. So one-third ranked it as medium. of the half.
So you
It was only just over two-thirds of people commented at all.
Chung Hua, because I could understand your question. If you read the first to last sentence, I think it will help understand your understanding. Yes, yes.
Second one is a little confusing.
Yes, so I think the conversely is just to mention opposite to one side of the other respondents. Yeah, just to.
It seems to me to make a final decision on which project will be on the research one or not, very important to get a precise number of proportion of each project. That's why I'm saying two-thirds might be too much.
It's a split between users and non-users. So it's the users of financial statements answering the survey and then the other respondents to the survey.
Right.
We'll take it offline and give you a little chart.
Yes.
Martin.
Sorry, and before you do that, can I just comment on the survey? You need to remember there are some limitations about the survey. For example, we allowed people to fill it in anonymously. They were able, they had the option of giving us demographic information if they wanted to, and names if they wanted to, but they didn't all. So we don't always know a lot about who the respondents were or what their reasons were or all those kinds of things. So I think we need to use the survey information with care. It gives us some information, but it's not very decisive information.
Peter, I have some kind of fair comparison of all projects. So in some paper of each some projects, they include some kind of no action number. Some others do not include that.
I think 24B or one of the ones we had this morning gave those charts.
Yeah. So if we just have just an absolute number of maybe kind of a high rank, that's enough. So we can compare the old projects fairly. But if we have some kind of interpretation like this, we are losing some comparability.
Yeah, it was the papers 24B and I think 24C that summarized the responses line by line with all of the individual projects. That's where you're going to get that comparison of all of the projects.
Martin, were you?
Yeah, man. I'm really not sure that this project is currently so important. And I think that is also the feedback I'm hearing. And also when I, speaking to preparers and also to the Global Preparer Forum, because we had these topics there and say, especially not only from banks, but also from industries which are really involved in that, they're saying they have dealt with it. And say, maybe there is an issue regarding net or cross-presentation, but is that a big issue? I don't think so, and maybe users also don't think so. But really to get the recognition and measurement of this correct, I think there is not currently, as I see it, not a big issue, and that is also shared, I think, in the feedback which you receive. I think maybe if these schemes get be more prominent and from the volume more extensive, I think maybe we should do something. But for me, that is a typical project. Maybe we have to decide then in next month or in the next few few months, okay, what should we give really priority? And this for me is a typical thing where I think we got feedback maybe is important, but currently maybe not so important because people have dealt with that. Secondly, I think really what is more important is that we get the conceptual framework on liability right, because I think if we get this definition of the liability right, especially on the practical ability not to avoid something, I think then people will find the right solution in that. And I think that is, then if it comes to timing, I think really what for me is important that we first really concentrate on the framework and have, if we have there an answer, then we can decide, okay, based on this, what we have done in the framework, can you really find a solution for that? And do we have to do, if any, then additional work on that? So for me, that is a project, yeah, maybe it is people speaking about that, but based on the feedback which we received, and my thinking is okay, that if we have to decide which priority we give, for me it would be medium priority, because feedback confirms that, and also I think people currently are who have to account for these schemes, based on my research which I have done, is not a big problem, other than presentation. Is that a big issue?
Like measurement is not one. If you have short, if you have shortened your position, if you have sold your certificates and you are
people
short,
don't people don't doing that. That is my understanding. What we heard maybe is that one company, but that was also very transparent. Otherwise, people have not figured it. But I think it was what I. We had a session in the Global Preparer Forum, and that was also people that okay, that is people who are really in the trading of the schemes, say accounting fair values. People are not in the trading of that, say doing then based on the net obligation which they think and account for that in respect. So that is
Philippe.
Well, I had a question for the staff about the scope exactly of the project. There is a recent trend about the climate change disclosures, which is becoming more and more important, and also the dimension about impairment of existing assets, because we are focusing here on the new schemes about liabilities created by the mechanisms. But what about the dimension of looking at your assets in the horizon of your expected useful life and thinking about whether there is any impairment issue created by the recent political decisions, which are yet to be seen in effect, but will certainly come at some point and maybe will come during the useful life of those assets. If I have a coal mine with a certain amount of reserves, I made some investments. Can I recover my investments over the useful life of the coal mine? If I am a production of electricity and my power plant is fueled by coal, can I reconvert to clean energy? Or should I impair my assets? I think we have also to think about the asset side of the balance sheet when we think about this project, which is not described here at the moment, but I think we should consider whether it's an element of this project.
Just a very brief comment. Hearing Martin and also taking into consideration the question Philippe posed to him when companies are short in the position, because with the growing number of schemes, there is a tendency of a very active secondary market for these assets as well. So I would just recall Pat's suggestion or mentioned this morning, that maybe some projects we could have a very good quick win if we, although not identify them as a priority, to develop some disclosure in order to provide information that users deem as needed to have a better information about the company. So just this, I think, applies to our projects. If at the end of the day we decide that, well, really the priority in our Olympics table, and then think about at least disclosure. I think it's a good suggestion.
Michael?
Yes, Philippe had mentioned some of the broader environmental risks and reporting issues that arise, and just want to say we do touch on or pick up some of the comments received on that through the agenda consultation in our paper on new projects, which you'll be discussing tomorrow, and obviously it'd be something to consider for the board to consider as part of your assessment of the overall balance of the agenda as to where, if at all, that sort of risk or reporting should fit in.
But I think it's well beyond the boundaries of this project at the moment.
It might be. I think we have to have a look. I'm not sure. Maybe the issue of impairments
just be in terms of disclosures about how did I consider that element in my impairment test or not. Maybe it's a point of interest for investors, maybe.
It's not maybe a quick win, maybe not a big project, saying just in looking at your impairment test, how did you build the climate change problems into this impairment test?
Yeah. Yeah. So just on this point that Philippe brought, a very good example is the accident that we had with a dam in Brazil recently that affected directly the BHP here because of the amount that was involved in the recoverability of this. So that this is probably very much impaired at the company level. So
okay.